This interview is being held at Airport Village 1, San Antonio, Texas, on February 16, 2004. Jeanette Marshall is being interviewed by Ruth Stewart, assisted by Marianne Rogers. Jeanette, start by telling us about your early life. Where were you born and where you went from there?
Well, I was born in Sheridan, Wyoming, way up in the coal country. And at 10, I went to California, had my education mostly there. And I trained at St. Vincent's Hospital in Los Angeles, and with the Sisters of Charity there, and had a good training in Los Angeles College, so I came out with a three-year degree. And let's see, I did private duty and general duty, and then I had an early marriage and was married for 10 years, and that failed. Why, I jumped into the Air Force at the last minute because I was getting to the terminating age. I was 37, but at that time they were taking people after 35 because of the Korea conflict.
What year was that?
1952.
Okay.
And I went in September of 52 at Bergstrom, Texas. And I went to flight school soon after. And then my first assignment was Japan. And I flew AeriVac from Korea to Japan during that time, 2 years of flight, and had 1,000 hours in unpressurized planes, which accounts for my deafness. Let's see. And during that time, the most interesting flight I had was one to Vietnam, where we took out the French. I don't think many people now realize that the French were trying to protect Vietnam too. And I took the first load out. It was about 104 patients, all litter, and mostly amputees. And we took them to the Philippines and RON in the Philippines one night, and then went on to Japan, which they were picked up from the stateside AeriVac group then. But that was an interesting flight because I couldn't speak French, nor could they speak English. But they were so delighted to get out of the country that anything would have passed as a language. And they couldn't understand why we didn't have wine for them. They drank up everything we had on the plane as it was. And it was a very interesting flight. We had French nurses and doctors along on the trip, so that alleviated some of the problems. And the rest of the time was taking the wounded out of Korea to back to Japan. And those were always interesting flights. And our planes were pretty crude compared to the AeriVac planes now, but we managed. And let's see, from there I...
Before we go on, Jean, how about telling us about your life in Korea? How did you live? What did you eat? Did you have any interactions?
We had Kwanzaa huts. And we had a pot-bellied stove, and we had a Westinghouse electric oven. And when Sigmund Rhee left the electricity on, we could bake things. But often, we'd start a cake, and the electricity would go off. But we'd leave the cake in the Westinghouse oven, and it would eventually bake. So we had some very interesting meals, to say the least. We also had a fire once at K-14, and the Koreans were lined up against the fence because they thought they were going to be able to confiscate some of the materials, like refrigerators and things. I don't know what they would do with them, because their electricity didn't work as ours. But we had papers all over the side of the mountain from that fire, and trying to assemble that and get it back to shape was a a real chore, and it's quite an excitement, I guess, for everybody concerned. We had two nurses that were stayed there temporarily, rotated, and then the other girls would fly in and we'd rotate and the others would take them out. So that was the program there. And then in Japan, we flew as far as Guam and the Philippines and Iwo Jima and northern Japan and southern Japan. When I first got to Japan, the interesting thing was they changed the script, the money, and took all our script and said they would reissue the money. And then they assigned me to go to southern Japan, and I flew down there and was met by a Japanese man that drove me to the base. And it's in the middle of the night, and he stopped the jeep and got out, and I didn't know what in the world for. It was about 12 or 1 o'clock in the night, and here I have no money, and I'm off in a foreign country, and I didn't know what in the world to take or to do. But he was just relieving himself, and he hopped back in the jeep, and on we went. Nothing damaged, except my pride, I guess. And let me see. About all the interesting things there.
Did you live on the economy in Japan?
No. We had on base housing, and that was gone for that. Mm-hmm. But dressed up pretty well, pretty comfortable. And the nurses had one of the bigger ones on the base. And we all had nurses that were stationed at various places, but the headquarters was there at Tachikawa, as far as Arivac was concerned. And we kept the bridge game going all the time, 24 hours a day, because there were nurses coming in and out, and there was always a foursome waiting. So that was our interesting pastime. And we had a very lively club at Tachikawa, and so our social life was active. And that's where I met my husband, which I later married after I got back to the States. And I went back to California, stationed at Edwards, and was there 2.5 years. And my husband and I got married while I was there. You want me to go on?
Well, what were you doing at Edwards then?
I was the ward nurse at Edwards, had a general medical ward. And then from there I went to Germany, and I was stationed at Rhein-Main. And my husband was a base commander at Diebelstadt, which was 90 miles away, and no Autobahn. And it was down in the Harz Mountains. And when you went back and forth, you got behind a huge lorry, as they called them, or truck, and you went their pace. So it took about 3 hours to make that 90 miles. And it was a drudge, but we managed it. And then we transferred to Ramstein, and we got to live together then. So we finished out our German assignment, and then was sent to Mesa, California. And then my husband retired. And he had had 27 years in the Air Force, and having been born in Belfast, he never wanted to go back to the British Isles, and he never had an assignment in Texas, and he had 27 years in the Air Force. As soon as he retired, I was assigned to Wilford Hall, and from there I went to Lake and Heath, England. So he became a camp follower anyway. And then I finished up my career in England and came back to retirement in San Antonio, where we had built a home. And have lived here ever since my husband passed away in 77. And I have who had built a house right next to the Air Force Village and watched them build it and said, we'll never go in there where all those old folks are going to live. And here I am, a resident, and happy to be here.
And you look very happy. Yes. Well cared for.
Yes, I like it. Yeah. I like the security and the safety and the friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell us a little more about how your nursing career went throughout all of this. You started out as a flight nurse.
As a flight nurse, and then was the ward, and then I went into clinic work, and I'm very fond of the clinic work. In fact, one of my clinic nurses was Diane Hale, who's general, retired and was in charge of the Air Force Nurse Corps at one time. And, you know, a delightful person that she's been out to see me several times. From there when I went to England, I was assistant director. And the director was Lee Williams, who also was a personal friend of mine. And we decided that if our friendship lasted through that assignment, why, we really had to choose one. And we got along fine. And then Mary Burns came after Lee Williams retired, and I worked with her until I finished up as assistant director of nursing at Lakeview.
Dean, tell us a little bit about some of the challenges that you had from the medical side of things. You mentioned that the cabins are not pressurized in the aircraft,
yeah.
But what other limitations did you experience?
Well, there was limitations in carrying the litters on the airplane, because if you had a full load, it's hard to get four litters stacked. They have very little space in between, so you had to make allowances for feeding and for turning or positions that had to be changed. And you did a lot of improvising, and it was real tricky. I brought two boys up from Ashia, which is South Japan, up to Tashi, that had a swimming accident and had broken their necks, and they had head weights on, you know, traction, and we had to sit on the floor and hold the sandbags while we took off, so the sandbags wouldn't swing and distort the traction on their necks. And that was exciting, because we knew their life was in their hands. And yeah, I can't think of things. I will tomorrow. Think of more exciting things.
Did you always feel like you had sufficient medicine and equipment wherever you were stationed?
It was amazing. He didn't have it, he made do. And it was outstanding the way you could work out things. And the corpsmen were marvelous to help. They were well trained in those days, and you couldn't do without them. You know, they just were your right hand, practically. And we had everything in that small medical kit, all the kinds of bandages and immediate medical attention that we were authorized to give, or if there was anything special, they sent it with the patient. And we had transfusions going and IVs going, and we had to learn to get one going if it clogged up. And so you learned a lot fast, sometimes without any help or guidance, sort of on your own. But it was worth every bit of it. It was very rewarding.
Your career was rewarding in the Air Force?
Yes, I think so.
Very rewarding.
I was sorry to get in so late, but better late than never. They kept telling me in personnel that they had to get me out when I was 55, and okay. Well, 55 came, and they extended me the 2 years to make up for the 20, I guess.
Well, that was to your full advantage, certainly.
Yes, it certainly was. Tension-wise and satisfaction of having fulfilled this 20 years, too. So.
Did you ever feel any sort of discrimination or feel like you were treated as not quite a member of the team?
You mean the Air Force team?
Right. Mm-hmm.
No, I think we were recognized, like the flight crews were especially attentive and courteous to us in air evac, and the doctors and medical team were always, I think, generally speaking, receptive to the nurses and helpful. And it wasn't an alien service like it seems to be now. They, you know, don't work together like teams. They're all separated into different groups now. And I don't know about the military, you know, how it works out there. But I know they have beautiful equipment. I've been in some of the newer planes, not recently, but 5 or 10 years ago, and saw how well equipped they were compared to ours. But I think we helped them learn what they needed.
Right. You paved the path for many women.
So
were there?
We weren't aware of it.
Mm-hmm. Were there numerous incidents throughout your career that you laugh about now?
Oh, I'm sure there were. We had lots of good things happen, you know. We'd write up fake histories or something on a flight. I remember our last flight in Japan, we wrote a pseudo history on make-believe patients and turned it into the office and put them in a tizzy because they couldn't understand what had happened to the patient. But it was our farewell gesture, and it was fun. And let's see, I can't think of any other things. In England, when anybody retired, the thing to do was to rent a Rolls Royce limo for the event, and that was always a big do. We saw several retire over there, so we took advantage of that pleasure.
When you came back here to San Antonio in your retirement, did you?
I took retirement here, yeah.
Did you work as a nursing place after that?
Not after I got out of the service. Yeah. I volunteered.
Yeah. You volunteered
here
then in
different organizations, but not as nursing.
Mm-hmm. What were your volunteer activities?
Oh, let's see. Tell you, tell me. I'll remember them tomorrow. Well, the WSL did a lot of different volunteering. We had different sales and things to promote help for different organizations, the blind and the USO downtown we worked with. And I remember being in the parades for different events. I had a Mercedes SL at the top down, you know, so that was always a prerequisite. And Terry Baker and some of the old ones that were in the high regime men, we'd take them up and down with the other organizations in the streets of San Antonio. Yeah, it was kind of exciting. And when you think of what else you had done, doesn't sound like it was anything very, very notable now, but we thought it was then.
Kept you busy.
Yeah.
Any volunteer work is notable.
Yeah.
It's always appreciated. Let me go back for just a moment, though. Did you just fly into Vietnam that one time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I never got back there or anything.
What did you join veterans organizations aside from WSL?
The Air Force Nurses. I helped start that. I was on the pilot group that started the original 11.
Mm-hmm.
Started here in San Antonio in 1968. was right after the Army started theirs. Society of Retired Air Force Nurses now, and it's national. And so that was, you know, sort of interesting to be on that team to get that thing going, because we led up to 2,500 members at one time. I don't think it is now, but it's still going strong. So that was good. I didn't join the VFW or any of those. I'm not much of a joiner. I had joined the WSL in 77 and enjoyed all of that. And I was vice president with Doris Cobb. So that's been a very interesting group of people.
And still is.
Yeah. Growing all the time. And I'm glad.
Well, we certainly appreciate this. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we
know? But I think it's wonderful that they are going to recognize the women in the service. And I think the WSL especially, you know, not only those in the military, but those in the embassy and the USO and the Red Cross were recognized. And I think they played a very important part. I know they did, like in Korea, the Red Cross and the USO, and those were just vital things for those soldiers. They really looked upon them for, oh, for consolation, entertainment, and support, you know, more so than the medical, I think. So that was interesting to be associated with them and hear some of their stories, too.
Well, Gene, we really appreciate the time you've taken and this review of your very interesting career in the Air Force.
You'd ask me.
Thank you.